Some people can get a thrill knitting sweaters and sitting still. That's okay for some people who don't know they're alive. Some people can thrive in bloom, living life in the living room. That's perfect for some people of 105. That I gotta see, and all the places I gotta play, all the things that I gotta be. Yet, come on, Papa, what do you say? Some
people. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. We're back. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com, on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast, and on Facebook if you'd like to join the conversation. We're broadcasting live on Ustream right now, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Ed, how's your first Gleeless week?
Ever? No, that's not true.
I guess it's our second, huh?
No,
that,
like, what do you... What,
oh, you didn't say ever.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, until fall, you're already counting the moments.
I don't know. I'm filling my time with Platinum Hit and Voice.
So and the Voice.
I really wish the Voice was better than it was. It wasn't so gimmicky, but it's amusing enough.
They sing in a boxing ring. How could it get any better?
But it's so, aka gimmick. Come on.
Oh yeah. Well, and the hard part about the boxing ring is there's nothing for them to interact with, so they just either stand there or like pace back and forth.
That's true. Well, it's frustrating because I thought now that we finally got to top 16, I thought that the eliminations would be gradual. But now they're going from 16 to 8 in 2 weeks. I'm like, that isn't gradual. That is anti-gradual.
And Jennifer, you devoured The Killing this week.
I've caught up with everything on that. Yeah, I'm just kind of whipping through a bunch of shows you have.
You devoured Episodes, which is an outstanding show.
And there's only 7 episodes, and they're only a half hour each. But now I'm finally going back. I'm sorry?
What is The Killing?
The Killing, it's an AMC show, and it's one 13-episode series for one case. So it'll only run one season, and it's just the entire season is one murder case. And it's quite compelling. It's
a good show.
It really is, and I'm starting to really like the characters, so I'm kind of disappointed there's only 2 more episodes and it's not going to come back. So get that. But I'm actually going back now to True Blood.
Oh, season 2.
I started season 2, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm way behind. So.
And I'm getting caught up on Men of Certain Age, because I am a man of a certain age. Though not the age
of the
men.
What is
the
certain
episode.
Age? Like what does that mean?
In the episode, they're all like, I want to say it's late 40s or mid to late 40s, I think, is the actual pitch of the show.
I don't think you're mid to late 40s.
But I'm not, yes. I'm not mid to late 40s.
But it's more like where you are in your life regardless. So it's not... It's not just 40-somethings. It's
I was just thinking today that I'm about to turn 23 and I'm going to be old soon. So.
Ed, you're not going to be old. Oh, what the heck? Turn that off. That's the ad on Ustream that's playing through the speakers.
That's exciting. Like,
is that like a banking commercial?
That was a banking commercial. Apparently, that's one of the ads that plays on Ustream when people listen to our show.
Good
so that was kind of weird. Even though I had it turned off. Anyway, well, welcome. We've got a couple things to discuss tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Glee project. We got an amazing email about the Glee tour, so we'll check in on that. We're going to look at a couple of the competing shows, the other shows in the Gleeverse, or that have been spawned by the Gleeverse, shall we say. Glee got a couple Critics'
Choice
Awards.
No, just within the Gleeverse. I mean, the Gleeverse is the Gleeverse. Everything's within it.
I would say it was inspired. It was inspired by the Gleeverse. How's that?
Well, the Gleeverse is the sun and everything. The Glee itself is the sun, and everything else is some satellite around it.
That's funny. Well, there you go. That's one way to look at it. They were definitely inspired, though, you know, because there are a lot of these shows like, we'll get there. Let's go ahead and let's start off a bit by talking about
Motorcycles?
Motorcycles going by outside.
Motorcycles and unicorns?
And what about unicorns? Lady Gaga's album? it's just everything's playing ads. We're talking about the Glee Project. I was trying to play a video from the Glee Project, but everything keeps starting with ads, and that's not interesting radio.
Do they have individual performances? Because you were saying that we want to discuss them, but have they played individual singing?
No, the individual performances have not actually started. And they're coming, obviously.
June 12th
is when the show's going to start. But we do know who the contenders are, and we've seen a bit of them on the website. You'll have to go to the website to find them so that you can delve into the contenders. And the mentor is actually on the show. I guess I can't pull them up here without playing advertisements, and we don't want that. But yeah, you know, there's 12 of them, and they run kind of across, and we can take a quick look at them now. Ed, have you followed much about the contenders?
I saw the firework video, and that's pretty much the extent of, I was like, oh, okay, this is who they selected. This is very, I don't know, it felt very Disney anyways.
Now, did you remember any of them from when you went to go to
There was only one person from the Chicago audition, so.
Okay.
So the chance of me actually having run into that one person.
McKinley?
I think that's right. I did look that up as well. Yeah. And about half of them actually came from the MySpace auditions.
Yep.
So we, in alphabetical order, they start with Alex. He's 18 from Lynn, Massachusetts.
Lynn.
Did I said Lynn, right?
I thought you said Lim.
Oh, no. Lynn, Massachusetts. He says he's been a performer since he was a toddler. He is the only male African-American contestant. So were this to be Mercedes' boyfriend, as they said, Mercedes, if a male African-American contestant wins, Mercedes would get a boyfriend, and this would be it. Extracurricular activities such as church choir, school choir, improv club, and costume design make him extremely busy. And yes, he was one of 34,000 people to submit an audition video for the Glee Project via MySpace and got through. We actually had some listeners talk a little bit about submitting for the Glee Project, but I, you know, I don't know that any of them actually got through. We also have, let's see, it's going to be kind of boring to go through these here, just kind of one by one.
Yeah, like,
I'm not really sure how to make this interesting.
Since we have no performances, we can't really, like, do anything.
Yeah.
So maybe it would be best if we save this.
Yeah, we might want to come back later when we actually have videos of everybody.
I mean, do you want to place a bet on who will win without anything and just be completely wrong?
I like this. I like this, Ed. Jennifer, do you want to place a bet on a winner now, just by looking at the pictures?
No.
No? All right, Ed and I will do it.
I mean, but it's okay. You're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's riding on it. We're just going to throw it out there. And, you know, let's be honest. Ed's probably going to be right. No? Okay, so I'm going to go for this, and I'm going to put it up to the listeners. If you guys want to make a random choice of someone that is a cast member of the Glee Project and tell us who you think is going to win just by looking at their faces, Ed, who do you think it's going to be?
I'm getting a feeling, Damien. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, I don't know, something about him stood out more than anyone else just from the pictures.
From the firework video?
No, from the pictures. And then I'm reading his bio, and he's professional from Celtic Thunder. I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. So,
he
Damien,
like
that's my
McCreary.
Final choice. Without knowing anything, I mean, I don't really know anything. So
he's also from Northern Ireland. Just scanning their faces, that's the one that jumped out at me as well. For one, we know that if any audience
Plus,
voting...
Plus, we need some strong males. Gosh, for real.
Well, any audience voting means that a girl will not win. We're learning.
Anything after the year 2007 means.
Okay. But he does kind of jump off there. And because he's foreign, I think that will give him kind of a big edge up, you know, to kind of let
the girls go
off.
Crazy for those accents.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Well, we'll definitely have to see how that turns out, and we'll be able to discuss this more next week when we have performances and such from the pilot. The pilot's on June 12th, so, you know, check that out. And we're interested to see what
that is. Chicago Editions, I was interviewed by the host, so there's a potential that maybe they'll flash to me. But they probably won't, or they'll probably like completely misconstrue my quote, or like they ask me like what do I like about Glee, and they're totally gonna pan. I bet they're totally gonna take that section out of it, and not gonna give me the context of introducing myself, which is fine. Whatever. Yay, TV.
Well, Jennifer, as a Gleek, in one way or another, would you watch the Glee Project if we weren't covering it for the show?
I might watch it initially just out of curiosity. I don't know if it's something that I would, you know, commit full time to.
Yeah, just kind of at it. Yeah, I mean, you want to check out the pilot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have a cursory interest in it because I do like Glee, and this will then possibly affect, you know, the future Glee. But yeah, I don't know. It seems very manipulated right now. It seems so like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think that they, you know, this isn't just a singing competition, and it's not just a, you know, personality competition. So I don't really know. I can't commit.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that if I wasn't doing this podcast, and of course we'll cover it for the podcast, I think I would probably wait until a Saturday when they just ran them all, you know, and it's Bravo. So on a Saturday, our television Oxygen, thank you. It's Oxygen, which means our television is usually on a Saturday running an America's Next Top Model marathon on the same channel. So that just would be not there, and the Glee Project would be on. I don't know. There's something about it that, you know, I don't know if I want to see Glee as a reality show. And I don't really know if Glee can be a reality show.
I don't think it necessarily would appeal to the same audience. I mean, this is not all reality show people like Glee, and not all Glee people like watching, you know, reality competition. So I don't know. It's a bit of a stretch.
It'd be interesting just to see how it all shakes out. Ed, you know, same question to you. Would you actually watch the Glee Project if, you know, we weren't doing a podcast and had to cover it?
I'm such a sucker for musical reality shows. So probably. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, I'm a sucker for musical reality shows. So, plus the summer's kind of like blasé, like until July 7th when Big Brother starts. It's like, has summer even started yet?
Well, there's definitely a lot. There's not a lot else going on.
Like this is, if they were ever going to do this, it's like the middle of summer. And happy birthday, Allison.
Oh yes, Allison in the chat has said it's her birthday.
Allison from Canada, who once got free vitamin water. I remember tweeting about that. I was like, oh, Allison.
Well, you know, you mentioned, Ed, some of the other things that were going on. And there are these other shows that are coming up right now that are kind of trying to, you know, fill the space of Glee on other networks, try to run with some of the Glee, you know, interest. The biggest of them is, of course, Smash, which is going to be on NBC.
The second you started talking about this, I just, like, started sighing. I was like, oh.
Well, so Smash is going to be on NBC. I don't know that it actually has a specific premiere date, but I do know people that have seen the pilot. And the synopsis for Smash is, according to IMDb, this is the official synopsis. At the heart of the show are the musical's composers Tom, who is gay, and the lyricist Julia, who is somewhat against the idea of a Marilyn Monroe-themed musical. The plot will follow an out-of-town tryout of a Broadway musical and centers around a songwriting team who write a musical about Marilyn Monroe based on an offhand remark from an assistant. They post a show-stopping number on YouTube. When it's a viral hit, a producer who's looking to recapture success long past decades to produce the musical. There are two choices to play Marathon: Karen, a talented young newcomer, and Ivy, a theater veteran. So it seems like Glee in theater, I guess, but I don't know.
What's it called again?
It's called Smash.
I've never heard of this.
I do know
Catherine McPhee is in it.
Yes, Catherine McPhee will play the talented young newcomer, and Megan Hitty will play a theater veteran. I don't know Megan Hitty.
I feel like that's the reverse in actuality.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I just pulled it up
Hilty,
on IMDb.
I'm sorry.
It has Jack Davenport, so I will watch this.
He's hilarious. You have to watch
love
Jack Davenport.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah, it does have Jack Davenport. It also has Deborah Messing and Angelica Houston.
Wow.
Which will be interesting to see. And then some random kind of, like Brian D'Arcy James pops up in there. And yeah. There's some other random people. Now, a buddy of mine saw the pilot, and he estimates that they spent $8 to $10 million on the opening scene of the pilot.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he said the opening scene, like the show was pretty interesting, but the opening scene was like insanity.
Wow.
So yeah, so keep an eye out for that. It's DreamWorks Television. Steven Spielberg is behind it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Smash. You know, we've talked about on the show how the entire musical theater trend or musical television trend has not fared very well pre-Glee. So definitely interesting to see what happens post Glee, but this seems to have more of a musical theater bent. And Ed, you're liking Glee, but not being a huge musical theater nut. Do you think that's going to be alienating for people that it's musical theater?
Well, part of Glee's success is without question their ability to do current hip songs and classics that draw in those audiences. So if they're true. If they're not, if that's not even a focus of Smash, then it's, it might be a smash badly. I don't know. That fail voted. I was going so well, and that last word didn't happen.
Jennifer, will you tune in for Smash?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
It would have been a splash. It would have. If it's not a. The Smash will become a splash or something. That's so much better than what I said. Whatever. Okay. Sorry.
Well, so. And then, of course, we have Grace. Which is another show. I actually don't know much about this one, except that it is, according to IMDb, revolves around a dysfunctional family and is set in the world of professional dance. And we'll have lots of dancing in it. Ian Bailey is in it. Eric Roberts, who we all know, is great television.
He's out of rehab?
He's out of celebrity rehab. He is. And Bree Turner, who is a total one of those, like, oh, where do I know her from? Type of faces
everywhere.
And Will Kemp, don't you like, isn't that one of your guys? Will
he
Kemp?
Was a dancer, yeah, and then he played, oh god, he was a ballet dancer, and then he was a model, and then he I think his first American film was Van Helsing. He played the Wolfman.
There you go. That's how, yeah. I knew that name.
Oh yeah. Another film I'll just watch for the visuals.
But dance is an interesting twist, you know, because like you and I, Jennifer, we love like American Idol and Glee, but we've never watched So You Think You Can Dance. I've never been able to get into that show. Ed, how did, do you watch the dance shows, or is it just vocals?
I have some friends who I made watch some X Factor and some Hayley Reinhardt, and they're like, so do you watch So You Think You Can Dance, Ed? And I'm like, no. And you know why? The real reason why I don't watch So You Think You Can Dance is because with Idol, the success rate might be small, but with So You Think You Can Dance, even if you're the winner and successful, I'll never hear from you again, really. Unless you go to Dancing with the Stars, which I don't watch either. So it's like, I want there to be a possibility of massive success, and So You Think You Can Dance is not that platform. Hmm.
So your thing is, if I'm going to watch a reality show, I need the winner to possibly become a
successful,
freaking superstar.
Essentially, like, yeah, that's what it is. Like, I want to believe that there's something is becoming of the show, which is why I can't watch Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, there's nothing gained. There's nothing, like, you win, you have a trophy, that's it. There's nothing else. There's no reason for this to be televised.
There's not that much further to go. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with a show like Grace, to see if, you know, can dance pull from some of that Glee audience and some of the musical audience. Having more music on TV, though, that's never a bad thing. That's always fun to see. And yeah, you know, I'm sure there'll be more to come. I'm sure we'll get more of these spinoffs. You know, we actually had a couple people who wanted to talk about a spinoff of Glee. Let's go ahead and take a listen to listener Vanessa.
Hi, Justin and Ed. This is Vanessa from Brooklyn. I was curious to know what your thoughts would be about if they ever did a spinoff show where, you know, Kurt, Blaine, and Rachel are living in New York City. So, curious.
Bye. So, my first thought is John Travolta and Staying Alive. which is a pretty obscure reference.
I was going to say Saved by the Bell, The College Years.
The College Years. Yeah. That was a classic.
Did it stop you from watching?
The Best Days of Your Life? That was Jennifer Love Hewitt, her character from Party 45. Of Five, moving to New York and dating Jonathan Skeech next door. Was it Jonathan Skeech?
I don't know.
It Thomas Everett Scott? Anyway, I think that'd be hilarious, but I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe after they graduated in 3 or 4 years, they might. It might be fun to get a spinoff. It definitely makes the mind wander with possibility. And I know you'll have an opinion on this, Ed. If you could have a Glee spinoff, where does your imagination go?
See, I wouldn't almost want a spinoff, only because I would really like this core to still be there. In addition to new people, maybe that might get a little bit. A lot would be happening in an episode, but that rarely is a complaint of mine. So if we get to the point like 10 years from now, and there's like the current high school people and the first generation and the second generation going along at the same time. Actually, they probably won't want to do the show that long, like from a personal standpoint. I don't know. I guess then when I think about it that way, where they would want to actually move on with their lives, then sure, that spinoff that Vanessa suggested is as good as anything I can come up with. So
Irish Mike in the chat room just said they need a spinoff simply revolving around Brad.
Wow.
Spinoffs are such a dicey business, you know. Yeah. Usually they suck, but occasionally they're more successful than the shows they came from.
Occasionally, yeah. I mean, I never thought, like, Frasier would be any good.
Yeah.
Frasier.
I don't know.
Not Frasier. That's Brendan. Brendan Fraser.
You know, it's an interesting thing to discuss. There is a future, though, where this might happen, right? There is a future where we could get a Jesse St. James spinoff or a Blaine and the Warblers spinoff.
Or have each generation have their own show.
But that becomes Saved by the Bell, the new class, running Degrassi. Concurrently with Saved by the Bell. Degrassi continues with one show. They just graduate people and kick them off.
I mean, that's actually what I see more happening for this is just that, you know, they bring in underclassmen and people graduate and go on.
We're speculating and they don't even know.
Oh, yeah. But it's fun to speculate because, you know, we've got so many weeks between now and the return of Glee. So we have lots of time to speculate.
Well, I think they have to have some idea. I mean, there's no way they don't have like beyond, you know, 2 years. I mean, they have to have at least a 5-year plan for where the characters are going to go.
I'd like to think they have an overarching plan.
Not like particular specific storylines, but just an overarching idea of, you know, the direction or the trajectory of the of the show.
I mean, I have to say, first spinoff that comes to my mind would be Dalton Academy. Like an entire show set in Dalton Academy and with the Warblers. And the problem is there would be no girls in the show and a whole bunch of jackets. But the wardrobes would be really cheap.
They might have a sister school that they...
An all-girls school. It was in the animal number.
Exactly.
That's right. So they could... It would be Dalton and then the sister school.
But what about... See, now I'm thinking about this in terms of... We don't want to have the thing with the college years and blah blah blah. What would be the perfect solution for this is a couple years down the line after this cast leaves, to have a full fledged Glee movie with the original cast member, not the new ones, and then wrap up all their storylines from what they left behind, and then what happened afterwards, like the years afterwards. Like a two and a half hour movie, that'd be perfect.
It would definitely be fun. I mean, wrapping it up with a movie would be pretty.
Firefly.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Serenity was awesome. So what's
it was incredible.
It was.
Ed, I didn't say it was a problem. I was going along.
Darn.
Hey, were you in jury today or something? You seem awfully combative.
No.
Okay. He's just enthusiastic.
I was agreeing with you. I was thinking that would be a great idea, and it did work so well for Firefly and Serenity, so...
Yeah, I mean, it would be great to wrap it up with a... I mean, or they always, after a show gets canceled, you know, they do the, like, TV movies after the fact. This is also... It's also been a years away. We'll be having this conversation innumerable times, I'm sure. But speaking about the Warblers and, you know, spinoffs of the Warblers, there's this video that's been making the rounds on the internet. Before you met me, I was alright, but things were kind of heavy. They brought me to life, now every February, you'll be my Valentine. Valentine, let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die. You and I will be young forever. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. Turn down. So this is the little warbler that's been making the rounds.
I feel like if I don't see the visual on this, I'm just confused.
Well, he is, gosh, I don't know. What would you say, Jennifer? Five?
Maybe four.
He has a warbler coat and warbler tie, which is hanging just about down to his knees. And he knows all the moves. This kid has them all.
It's really cute. Actually, Darren Criss is the one, like, he tweeted it, and that's when I first saw it. But I didn't listen to it, so I thought that the kid was actually singing all the lyrics aloud. So.
Oh, not just singing with the show.
He's standing in front of the TV, and yes, it's cute.
It's pretty adorable.
But if you listen too closely to the lyrics, it gets a little creepy.
It does. I wasn't going to bring that part up, but now that you have... That is the creepy part.
Sorry.
That song, someone had mentioned if you take out that one line where she says, let's go all the way tonight, no regrets, just love, the rest of the song is like pretty PG rated, other than maybe the skin tight jeans. So it's funny.
Well, I mean, that's just a descriptor. Like,
yeah. I don't think that sounds that bad.
There you go. It's just hilarious to think that it almost feels like it was a reasonably PG-rated song, and she was like, actually, that's not the theme on my new record. Why don't we throw some virginity in there, and we'll make that happen. Oh, okay.
Needed to go a little further.
Exactly. Well, Glee was nominated for some Critics' Choice Awards, as they always are. This year, they've been nominated for Best Comedy Series, and they're up against... Ready, Jennifer?
Go on.
They are up against Archer, The Big Bang Theory, Community, Louie, The Middle, Modern Family, The Office, Parks and Recreation, and 30 Rock. That's so many nominations.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like five comedies.
Yeah.
Every moderately successful comedy this season has also been nominated for Best Comedy Series.
And they're also diverse. I mean, even if it was down to five, it could still be five very diverse shows. But
yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of nominees.
I mean, it's hard to even compare a show like Glee to a show like Louie.
Yeah.
Which Louie is like nothing that's ever been on television. I even struggle to call that a comedy. So to put it in this category is so rough. It's also funny to see both The Office and Parks and Rec next to each other, which is a veritable spinoff one of the other.
I always felt like Parks was always greater than Office. In my heart, anyways.
The last season or two, I have to agree.
Oh, yeah. The first season of Parks and Rec was rough, but everything since then has been...
It was only six episodes, so it was only six episodes of rough.
And after that, it's been some of the best stuff on television.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to pick, you know, Glee, as much as I like it, season two was rough. If I had to pick from that list, I might have to go Community, just because this season of Community has been so... insane and off the wall, but Modern Family is still one of the finest things I've ever watched ever.
Honestly, if we were just comparing this season, I feel Parks and Rec won it.
Yeah, exactly.
For just this season,
I love the other shows. Yeah, but I don't think it was as consistently strong as Parks and Rec.
You're right. This season of Parks and Rec,
Sebastian.
Yes, this season of Parks and Rec has been superior to every other show in that category. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Ed, do you agree?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I totally agree. Like, this season of Parks and Recreations, with its late start, has managed to be so strong almost every single episode. I can't even think of one off the top of my head that wasn't
Yeah.
B plus or better.
So Jennifer, do you want to play tell your little Sebastian story?
There's really nothing to tell. When we went back east to my niece's high school graduation, we were staying part of the time in a town called Barnstead, New Hampshire, which is home of Einstein, who is the world's smallest miniature horse. Not a pony.
But not a pony.
Not a pony. So anyhow, my mom surprised me and brought us there to see all the miniature horses, and she bought me a t-shirt that has Einstein on it, and I totally thought of Little Sebastian the whole time.
Oh, it's totally Little Sebastian, and without question. That's
Josh
where they
is
got
still
Little Sebastian.
I don't get it.
And I'm totally Adam Scott. I'm totally like, I just don't. I mean, they're small. They just look like baby horses.
It's a pony, right?
Which, mind you, are adorable. But they're still just baby horses.
They're so awesome.
It is not a pony. Absolutely. Irish Mike's like, must emphasize, not a pony. Houseaholic says, 15,000 candles in the wind. Bye-bye, Sebastian.
That's awesome.
Presto Beat says, hello from Ireland.
Hello.
That's cool. We love Ireland.
We do love Ireland.
Yes. So, also nominated for a Critics' Choice Awards Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, Jane Lynch on Glee.
Very nice.
She is nominated with Modern Family's Julie Bowen, 30 Rock's Jane Krakowski, Cougar Town's Busy Phillips. Is that still on? Sorry.
It doesn't affect your life. Keep going.
The Middle's Eden Cher. I don't know who that one is. And Modern Family's Sofia Vergara. It's hard to put Jane Lynch in this comedy category because she didn't
like Jane
do a lot
wasn't
this
that
year.
Strong this season.
She didn't have that much to do in this second season, so it's really hard to it's really hard to put her in that. It's so okay. I have to call this out in the chat room. Allison just said, "Jealous of all the people from different countries. I'm just from Canada," and I immediately went, "Wait a minute, that's a different country." Yes, so Eden Cher from The Middle, that's actually the daughter.
Yes, she's great. Okay. She really is great.
Now, so these are actually all shows. I think you watch all of these shows, except for maybe Cougar Town. I don't really watch The Middle.
I watch The Middle when I catch it. I'm realizing I don't really watch a lot of TV unless I'm just, you know, watching it off the media server and just whipping through an entire series in a day. But I enjoy The Middle every time I've watched it. I think it's really quite charming, very funny, very relatable across the board. So.
It's a good show. I'm glad it's stuck around because it's not had the best ratings. So Jennifer.
And we like the janitor.
Julie Bowen, Jane Krakowski, Jane Lynch, Busy Phillips, Eden Cher, and Sofia Vergara. Who do you think wins for this season?
For this season, for me, Sofia.
Yeah.
Really?
I'd say either Sofia or Julie.
Now what about Sofia? Because I would probably go Julie. Because I mean, I love that character. But I think like this, you know, the scene where the kids caught them having sex, or the show where her picture was on the side of the van.
Oh yeah.
Like I just thought those were such great moments for Julie Bowen. I can't really pick out a moment for Sofia Vergara that was like particularly outstanding this season.
She has,
but
more
she's not really about moments.
Punchlines than
she's kind of about.
She's more like punchlines than storylines.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, fine. I'll go Julie Bowen.
Well, yeah, that's just.
I know you like blondes.
You sold me on it too. You're right. I'm sold.
I mean, it's so sad to be on a podcast about Glee and none of us is picking Glee. But it's like love the show more than we love this season, so that's why we're hard on it.
Mm-hmm. And what were you saying, Ed?
We still like Glee, but this season hasn't met the expectations that we wanted. So that's.
Now, Irish Mike said in the chat room, League of Doom would have clinched the victory for Jane Lynch.
Yes!
I mean, there were a lot of times where it could have happened. And then Type Away says she probably submitted Funeral, which is a pretty good. That was definitely her moment of the season, but even that, taken out of context, I still don't really think is enough.
And it wasn't a comedic storyline. I mean, it was very, very emotional.
Yeah,
very
on a
dramatic
comedy show.
Right.
Interesting. Well, so we'll have to see what happens with the People's Choice. Oh, that's the Critics' Choice Awards. There's a lot of nominees on there, though. It's funny to look in and be like, every category has six or seven nominees. Let's see. We have a casting rumor from Matthew Morrison. Matthew Morrison is reportedly set to star opposite Cameron Diaz in the romantic comedy Just Jared. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not right. Just Jared is the website.
I was going to say, on Just Jared? Is it about the website?
Yeah. The romantic comedy is called What to Expect When You're Expecting. Someone really optioned that book.
Yeah.
Years and years later. What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Is Cameron Diaz his romantic interest?
Well, we shall see. That is a good point. It did not clarify. Let's go ahead and take a little look at the Glee tour. Jennifer and I, we went to the Glee tour last year.
Yay!
But I think we were the only ones who went last year, and this year everyone is going.
Yeah.
But it's a much bigger tour this year. I mean, watching the tweets come out of the tour, it really seems like this was not the year to have missed the Glee tour.
Yeah, I mean, it was so much fun. I was still impressed that, you know, everything that they did for the episodes. I mean, they had the beds for Jump, and they had the car. I mean, they did do a lot. So I
think the difference was
imagine.
The difference was that ticket prices were twice as much this year. That's what kind of boxed us out.
Wow.
Ed, did the tour come by you?
I believe it went to Chicago, but unfortunately, I'm going to go see Glee Live 3D, though.
There we go.
When does that open?
I don't know. Oh. I think isn't it only in theaters for 2 weeks? Something to that effect.
Kind of like when they did the Michael Jackson movie, huh? It was supposed to just be for a week or two.
Yes, I think, it just ran for a little while, and then it kind of went.
But then they extended it.
On DVD. Oh, I'm sure. They sold more tickets.
I'm hoping they extend it.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple of reports from listeners. We got this one from listener Renee that was incredibly sweet and long, and I will not read it all. But apparently listener Renee went last year and sat in the last row of the theater, and this year she splurged a little bit. A lot, and she got second row center. She sent us photographs.
Are you serious?
From the tour that are unfreaking real. They look like press photographs.
Wow,
they're crazy. She had a whole list of things that the cast did.
Those are great.
She let's see, what did she say? Chris Colfer kneeled in front of us and reached out while singing "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Corey Monteith was smiling at us as he and Leah slushied us with confetti. Leah Michelle laughed at the end and told me how hot she was and took off her jacket. Mark Salling pointed at me and tossed me a pic. Yes, I am a grown adult and have gone to concerts for more years than the cast has been alive. It was just incredibly...
That's awesome.
And if you have a story from the show, definitely send it to us. I'm really curious to see like what the experience is this year and what people have been performing. It sounds like they hit them all. I think the highlight for all of the listeners will be when listener Renee says, "The whole night we felt personally serenaded by the cast. Darren Criss even blew us a kiss."
Aww.
So, I meant to mention before I read that email that it's a little braggy. But they said, listener Renee said she couldn't have imagined a better night, which is pretty cool. I know that Theater Knitter went in Boston last night.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool. And Type Away is going tomorrow, I think. Saturday is going when they attend Canada. So it's pretty cool. It looks like the tour is motoring on, and it'll be interesting to see how they make a movie out of it. If that movie is going to be just a performance film or if it's going to be a little more Justin Bieber. Jennifer, how was the Justin Bieber movie?
The Benadryl hadn't kicked in yet on my red eye to Boston. An American was torturing everybody who was taking the red eye with the Justin Bieber movie.
That is torture, isn't it? They're like, you have to watch Justin
I'm
Bieber.
I'm trapped. I'm, you know, 30,000 feet in the air, 4.5 hours.
You're like a captive audience.
Yes.
This is uncaptive.
Yes. So I kept closing my eyes and hoping it would all go away. But it didn't.
Well, you didn't have to watch.
No. I didn't have my headphones in or anything like that. So I wasn't listening to it. But, you know, when you're, like, trying to sleep on a plane, you're like, okay, your eyes open a little bit. And then you just look and you're like, really? Close them again and like, try not to think about it. So.
Well, but you did say that grown men and women were crying on the plane.
Out of joy, or
well, watching the film.
Yeah, No, I didn't.
I hear good things about the film. I've not actually seen it. But, I mean, the kid works hard, and you can't blame a hard worker. I never do. Never, ever.
It's just interesting. It'll be interesting to see if the movie is kind of that, you know, documentary slash performance film, or if it's just going to be a straight, you know, performance film.
Oh, you're talking about the Glee.
Yeah, the Glee movie. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, the Glee movie.
I was like, no, because definitely Justin Bieber. It was kind of documentary. I will say he loves his fans and he treats them very, very well. At least from what I could tell during the concert. So,
but isn't when the cameras are on?
Isn't anyone worried?
Giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Like, he seems like a very nice kid. He seems very talented. He seems like he has more or less his crap together, except for that creepy picture he tweeted with him and Selena Gomez like massaging each other's feet. It seems like he seems like a nice kid, but hasn't anyone told him that his hat is crooked? It's sad.
Aww.
It's sad.
You know what's sad is when I see like the bazillion of the male Justin Bieber clones that like, oh, I don't care about that kind of stuff, and then they're like totally Mick Justin Bieber right there. Like you can't be lying. You look like you want to be him. Regardless of what you say.
Like, they spend 2 hours to try to look like him and
deny, to get that hair
deny
swash,
even
right?
Knowing who he is.
I've kind of got beaver hair at the moment, though. I'm not really one to judge. So, yes, Chris Colfer is writing a book, ladies and gentlemen.
He's written for other things.
He signed a 2-book deal with Little Brown Books for Young Readers. They also published the Glee novelizations. The deal will see his original series, quote, The Land of Stories, hitting shelves next summer. He says, When I was 10 years old, I promised myself that if I ever had the opportunity to write this book, I would jump at the chance. This book has been at the core of my imagination for a long time, and I'm excited and nervous to share it. The Hollywood Reporter says The Land of Stories will target readers between 8 and 12 years old, telling the story of twins Alex and Connor Bailey as they face a modern world laced with fairy tales. Interesting.
Okay.
He's also busy scripting the Disney Channel pilot, The Little Leftover Witch, as well as an independent feature titled Struck by Lightning, as well as making Josh feel like a total failure and underachiever. Good.
Yeah, Josh.
Lord.
Do something.
You're killing me, Chris. You're killing me. And he's 21. So that's horrible. The Land of Stories from Chris Colfer. It could be interesting. I mean, it's definitely a much more ambitious log line than I ever would have predicted. You know, like when the log line came out of like Lauren Conrad's book, and it's like, oh, it's about a high society girl in Beverly Hills that is dealing with the paparazzi. And I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I mean, how original can it be? But his book actually, I mean, that sounds like something I would look into. Like I would be interested in reading, even though I'm not 8 to 12 years old. Jennifer?
The pilot sounds interesting to me.
The pilot, The Little Leftover Witch.
Yeah. Or the movie. I'm sorry. The one about, now I get them all mixed up. But I had read about the pilot, and that sounded cute.
Yes. The Little Leftover Witch is his pilot, according to the story recounts the tale of a diminutive witch. That is the hardest word in the world for me to say. Diminutive witch who is taken in by a kindly family after her broom breaks. Could this sentence get any harder to read? From the top.
Broom breaks.
The story recounts the tale of a diminutive witch who is taken in by a kindly family after her broom breaks and she falls out of the sky on Halloween night.
Yeah. That sounded cute.
That's interesting. I didn't know he was such a writer.
Now we all know.
Apparently, according to Zap2.com, he's ridiculously talented. And they started the article off. So that's interesting. And I don't know anything about the movie. Ed, any opinions on the Chris Colfer novel?
I'm sure it's going to be very good and very capable. So it sounds interesting enough. I mean, yeah.
We just had a listener, Audrey, in the chat room said we should form a book club. That would be fun. I mean, we could all pick one of these Glee books and read it and discuss on the podcast.
Wow.
I read the first Glee novelization from last season, and it was It was mediocre.
I'm 8 pages into it and I can't finish it.
You finished it though, so that's something. Good job, Josh.
I did finish it.
I gave up.
Yes, but it's painful. Read it pretty quickly. Jennifer just pumped her fist over there because the Bruins are up in the second period. If you happen to follow Corey Monteith on Twitter, Corey Monteith tweets constantly about this Canucks Bruins series. He does not agree with Jennifer on her choice.
A lot of people don't.
but that's
okay.
Well, that's pretty much all I've got for the show tonight, guys. Ed, do you have anything else in the Gleeverse you'd like to discuss?
Not so much the Gleeverse, but I have... I'm excited to announce that I booked my vacation to Boston. So if anyone from the Boston area, I know Theater and Knitter already contacted me. If you want to like meet up for like coffee or something, that'd be fun. I'm just going to be there for like 6 days, so... Yeah,
just 6 days. That's great. What are you going to be doing?
I'm just visiting a friend.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'd be cool.
What town are you staying in?
We're actually going to Gloucester.
Oh, nice.
You have to learn to pronounce it though.
Gloucester.
There you go.
Gloucester. That's how you know. I said it the same way that Phil said it on The Amazing Race, so it's fine.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Jennifer and I are like, I got nothing. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I would like to thank some. We have Clock. Thank you so much for your review. Gleek9, Skiball Lover, and I think those are the only new ones. So thank you so much for reviewing us, and yeah, thanks for being awesome in general.
Irish Mike just said something we might have to discuss next time. Corey Monteith was photographed naked. I didn't see
really?
That on the interwebs.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So, yes, we will definitely check that out. Happy birthday to Allison Cassidy. We will not sing happy birthday to you because that would be creepy. But huge happy birthday to listener Allison, who is in the chat room right now. You can always find us on the chat room. Just follow us on Twitter. And I try to give... I let people know when we're recording as soon as I get confirmation from Ed. Like, the second after.
I know, right? I was like... That's why I called him like an hour and a half. Is like, you know, I was fine with that 8:30, right? Like, like I was fine with that. I set my alarm and everything.
Yes. Well, and there we go. So here we are. You can find us on Ustream. You can also find us on Gleeful Podcast. You can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. And of course, we're on Facebook as well, though we don't really go there.
I go there all the time. I read it all the time. What are you
talking
about?
Oh, well, there you go. But a lot of people do have really cool conversations on the Facebook page, so that's a fun thing to do there.
I always like and like comments. Listeners. Like, usually,
oh, you like
usually
things?
9 times out of 10, if it's on Facebook, it's probably me.
Yes, and if it's on Twitter, it's probably me.
There's sometimes it goes either way, though. Sometimes.
And if it's baked on a cake, it's definitely Jennifer.
Most likely. I don't think I bake. I'm not a baker.
Well, we want to send shout outs to everybody on the in the chat room. I won't be able to mention everyone, but I'm seeing Lily Crystal, Houseaholic. I don't really. Oh, House is in the TV show. I was like, does she not go outside? Is she an agoraphobic? I totally just got that as it came out of my house.
God,
Sproutly, Anna Wynn, and Rose. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shining down all over the world except when the cyclone strikes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Hands up, put your hands up, put your hands up. Now the party don't start till I walk in. Don't stop, make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up.